What's up, everybody? We are back after a hiatus. We took a couple weeks off from the Furloughed Film Talks podcast. I am here with my brother, Ryan.
Hola, everybody.
Ryan is a little tuckered out.
I'm a little tired.
Should we say why you're tuckered out, Ryan?
It's not.
Do you work a lot?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
I'm working.
All right.
Well, so many hours.
Yeah. Everybody, thank you guys for checking out the newest and latest episode of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast. This is episode 126, chugging along after a brief Christmas, New Year's break, I guess is what you would call it.
Yeah,
let's go with that.
You caught some pandemic plague.
Yeah, I caught something.
Wasn't COVID.
It wasn't COVID. I tested negative four
Everyone
times.
Everyone has tested negative for COVID.
We'll see if one person tests positive today.
Well, probably not.
Maybe not.
Highly unlikely.
Yeah. So, but this is a action-packed episode. We have accusations to get into, as well as new trailers for Disney Plus shows, and a review of a movie from Paul Thomas Anderson called
Licorice Pizza,
starring Alana Haim,
I don't know,
and Philip Seymour Hoffman's kid as
you
well.
I don't remember his name,
but we'll say that later when we get to the actual
poor kid's
review.
Always going to be Philip Seymour Hoffman's child.
Yes, but thank you guys again for checking this episode out. You can follow us on Instagram at Furloughed Film Talks, where you can win free shit and have to pay $4 to go pick it up from the post office. That happened to Vinny, unfortunately. I didn't put enough post on it.
Did you send him $4?
I'm going to. I told him I would, then he was like, no, it's fine. I was like,
that's a no.
I'll send you $4. As well as on Twitter, at Furloughed Film. And what's up?
How'd you not put enough post on it?
I put multiple on it. His had two DVDs.
Did you not weigh it?
No. I weighed the one to Canada, though, so, like, that's good.
Okay.
The guy in Canada is definitely getting his.
Sorry, Vinny.
Not having to drive. Yeah, I felt really bad. He was really excited about it. But, Ryan, which do you want to get to first? Joss Whedon or Moon Knight?
Oh, let's just knock out the little controversy you stirred up
yesterday. The kerfluffle that I somehow inadvertently caused.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
You're way more versed in this than I am, so why don't you explain?
Am I more versed, Ryan?
Well, you read the entire article. So.
I did, yes. So, Vulture, which is owned by New York Magazine, Ryan's going to hop on his phone and zone out for a couple minutes.
I was just saying what was happening.
Put out a expose on Joss Whedon, the now disgraced director of Avengers, as well as Avengers Age of Ultron. He was the showrunner for Buffy, as well as Angel and Firefly, and another show I'd never heard of called Dollhouse.
Okay.
But he most famously, maybe not most famously, he definitely like...
Most infamously.
Infamously directed or came in for reshoots of Justice League. And most of the article was about that.
Okay.
Except for something early on in the article that I didn't see anybody talking about on Twitter. And I decided to screenshot what that was in the article and send out a tweet. And it took 4 hours for... And normally, most of my tweets don't have any traction because 500 followers, not that big of a deal.
You're just a little fish in a big sea.
You know, I deal with what I have. That's not the right way of saying that.
Don't we all.
Fucking A. Anyways, basically, 4 hours fucking go by, and all of a sudden, this, like, Washington Post reporter retweets it to her 216,000 followers, and all of a sudden, it just, like, took off. And
what was in the tweet?
What was in the tweet was, in the article, Joss Whedon recounts how... when he was a child, when he was 5 years old, and it's not even clear like if the boy that like went missing was like a friend or not. The son of family friends disappeared on his parents' property upstate. So I'm just going to read this like verbatim of what I put up, or like the screenshot. When he was 5, a 4-year-old boy, the son of family friends, disappeared on his parents' property upstate. Eventually, his body was found. He had drowned in the pond. Years later, as a teenager, Whedon remembered he had called the boy over to the pond to play with him. After getting bored, he had walked away, leaving the boy alone by the water. "I didn't think it was my fault," Whedon said. "I knew I was five, but it doesn't just disappear as a thought." It took him another 30 years, he said, before another thought dawned on him. Even after the incident, his parents never taught him to swim. There was no structure, he said. There was no safety. So, I read this entire article. I get through, like, because, like, everybody was posting about, like, Joss Whedon said that, you know, Ray Fisher's a shit actor and, like, like basically called Gal Gadot a liar and, like, all this different stuff. And I wasn't seeing anything about this part of the story. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, this kind of seems fucking wild that, like, he just threw out this story of, like, a small boy dying on his family's property and, like, nobody's fucking talking about it. Mm-hmm. And more to the fact that, like, what my main point is, what I said was, are we really skating over the part in the Joss Whedon piece about a boy going missing on his family's property when he was five, and when he was a teen, he then remembered that he was the one that called him over to the pond where the boy was found drowned with, like, six question marks. Yeah. Some people have taken that as I was saying that he killed this kid.
So how old was the other kid?
Four.
Four?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think, it's not, like, out of the realm of possibilities that a five-year-old would, like, drown a four-year-old.
Yes. Which, like, when I read that, did I think, oh, he fucking killed him? There was a small part of me where it, like, popped up. I was like, maybe? Like, the thought probably was like, did he do something? Mm-hmm. What struck me as odd, and the reason that I tweeted that out in the first place, was, and I as more people commented on it and pointed out the fact that he was fucking 5 years old, mm-hmm. My initial thought was, it's very odd that years later he had the memory come back up that he was the one that called him over to the pond. Mm-hmm. That he was the one that had him come over to the pond, and then he just got bored and dipped out, and then the kid drowned. He went missing and then drowned.
I think that's kind of bullshit.
That's total story or what I did?
No, the whole story.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's very odd.
The fact that, like, he made up this, or like, it sounds like he made up this story of, oh yeah, when I was 13, like, I had this random memory just pop up that, yeah, oh yeah, I was the one that had called him over to the pond. When, like, even if that was true, like, why were these two young kids, 5 years old and 4 years old, out in the middle of nowhere by themselves, like, where they could get in a pond by themselves?
Yeah.
B, why, like, then would he just, like, leave this child out there by himself?
Yeah, and, no idea.
Yeah.
And that's, like, curious.
And then why would you fucking tell
anybody? Why would you tell people? That was the strangest part of this entire fucking thing. Why would you tell
anybody? And then the cherry on top is the fact that, like, he's so egotistical and so, like, just a weird dude that his thought at the end of this whole story was, oh yeah, mommy and daddy didn't teach me to swim after the four-year-old drowned on our property.
Like, that's the, like, correlation he made. That was the connection that he made, was, like, not sympathy or sorrow for, like, this kid who was a family friend that died. Mm-hmm. No, it was, oh, here's how I got screwed. Like, here's how, right, like, my parents didn't teach me to do something.
I wasn't safe because my parents didn't teach me how to swim.
Yeah, like, that's fucking insane. And so,
I mean, fair. Like, if the parents are going to let the kids run around the property willy-nilly, like, maybe they should teach them how to swim if there's drownable ponds.
Yeah, which, like, dude, it's just, it's a fucking wild story, and it is overshadowed by what I think, and some of the people that, like, were commenting on this were like, hey man, like, Joss Whedon's a piece of shit already, like, we don't need this on top of it. And it's like, no, like, this is worse, like, than what he said to Gal Gadot and Ray Fisher. Shitty. Really fucking shitty.
Okay.
Somebody dying and he potentially, like, not telling somebody about it, or, like, covering it up, or doing whatever, or just just telling the story. Somebody died. Like, somebody is dead. That was really my point.
Sure. I mean, you're right. I guess it is, like, sort of worse, but in the context of him being director, like, it's not really relevant. What is relevant is, like, what happened with Gal Gadot and with Ray Fisher.
Well, right? And because of his onset behavior and the reasons that he has been basically exiled from Hollywood, that is, yes, way more not imperative, but what's the word I'm looking for?
Just relative.
Relative. Yeah. Relative to the relative. Overall, relative to the entire situation. That is 100% correct. It just, to me, it was like, what the actual fuck? And some of the people, like, people at, like, most conversations, people's fucking responses were all over the place. Like, it was crazy reading some of that stuff. I got called having trash takes, so, like, that's a first.
I could have told you that.
Yeah, well, thanks, Rye.
Yeah, no problem.
Do you think it was a trash take, or you're just saying it's not surprising somebody said it was a trash take?
Oh, no, I'm just saying that, like, I'm sure you've had many a trash takes in your time.
Oh, yes, yeah. 100%.
So, I am surprised it's the first time someone said you had a trash take.
Well, yeah, I just have never reached this kind of audience before. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so
Let's keep talking about how many impressions you got.
Yeah, 200.
His audience really cares about.
Yeah, they should.
Your Twitter impressions.
Dude, yeah, it was just wild shit. But at the end of the day, like, do I think he fucking killed a kid? No.
Maybe.
I'm not convinced he did. It's just very odd.
I'm definitely not convinced he didn't kill a kid, but...
Yeah, it's just... It's very wild that, like, that is now a thing that's out there, and people are, like, now quote-tweeting.
So is he totally, is he totally blacklisted from Hollywood now?
Yeah, so he got dropped from an HBO Max show he was supposed to be doing.
Good.
And he hasn't gotten, you know, any work, so I don't think he's going to anytime soon.
Good.
Yeah, it was very odd. And that's not even talking about, like, the whole, I'm gonna go to the bathroom thing, where he, like, if he didn't want to answer, like, he told this, like, reporter, oh yeah, my therapist taught me, like, if I don't want to, like, answer a question, I just say I'm going to the bathroom.
Right,
and,
anything,
like,
that
and then he did it multiple times.
Anything that makes him uncomfortable because he's a sex addict.
Yeah, and then he, like, it literally was like, oh, cool, you've just implicated yourself now, like, three times. Cool.
Right.
So, it's just,
I'm really, like I told you yesterday, I'm really surprised that, you know, any magazine was like, let's give, you know, let's do an extensive background research on Josh Whedon and, like, then have him in for many interviews and, like, de facto give him a platform.
Yeah.
To try and reclaim his good name.
You aren't surprised, is what you just said.
I'm very surprised.
Oh, you're very surprised.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not, the more I think about it, because of what happened yesterday, that article got so much reach just because of the fact that it was Joss Whedon. So, like, if you're thinking of it just from, like, a business standpoint, like, for Vulture, it's like, fuck yeah, we'll have all these people and all these clicks because we did a Joss Whedon thing. Like,
I guess.
Yeah. Like, that's the only reason I can be like, yeah, I kind of get why they did it. Because otherwise, it's like, yeah, why the fuck did you guys give this dude a platform? Because he said some absolutely insane shit.
Well, he's just a horrible person, really. Yeah. Like, he's a horrible person to work with. So, you know, what I'm surprised about is any publication, like, taking the risk of, you know,
having their name be attached to that.
Having their name be attached to it, but also allowing, you know, giving any credence to his side of the argument of, oh, you know, no, like, I had this, like, hours long conversation with Fisher about his acting. Gal Gadot is just lying. Like, you know, all this stuff to, like, refute what other actors are saying and, you know, it's like, at this point, I think it's pretty well accepted. You know, I thought we could put this to bed without having to...
Yeah, and, like, it's not like he's going to come back and, like, get work. Like, even before this, I think his name was completely, like you just said, blacklisted. So it's like, there's no real chance for redemption here. So, like, yeah, why the fuck would they have done that? But
I guess for the clicks.
But... Oh, and on top of all of that, one of the crazier parts about this, in this, he disparages Ray Fisher, who is a black actor, and calls him not only a bad actor, but, like, a bad actor person, but also, like, a bad actor professional.
Okay.
They then dropped this article that was, like, disparaging a black actor on, like, MLK Day. So it's like, fuck are y'all doing? Like, hold on. Like, if it
could... Let's be real, though. Like, Ray Fisher isn't a great actor.
I'm not saying he's a great actor. I'm just saying it's wild to... No. I'm not even saying he's a good actor. Mm-hmm. I'm saying it's wild that, like, Vulture or New York Magazine was like, hey, like, he says some really fucked up shit about this guy. Let's put this out on MLK Day.
Yeah,
fuck it.
That's a stretch.
But. Yeah. But the counter argument in my head to that is they did that because all these people were off work and had the time to read this.
Yeah, and like... Our total
maximum.
Are certain classes of people just completely off limits on, like,
true
days that
I just know, think it's a weird look.
Someone from their group.
Yeah, it's just a weird look.
is a weird book, but I think it would also be a weird look if
they were just some, like, we can't do this because
something came out. We're like, oh no, we, you know, someone, one of the editors was like, nope, we're not releasing it on MLK Day.
Yeah, that would have been strange.
I mean, you can either any way you cut it, it can be construed as strange.
But yeah, Joss Whedon's a piece of shit.
This we knew,
and we may have unwittingly started a rumor that he killed a child.
Yeah, so if it wasn't you, it'd be someone else.
That's true. Yeah, so. We'll see how long that one persists. Alright, on to more fun news. Something I am so fucking excited for. Have been, since it's been announced. Have been campaigning with my friends, I guess. Hadn't really done any real campaigning. Had been like, hey guys, they should do this. And now they fucking did it.
Quietly campaigning?
Yes. They've done it. I am so excited. I'm going to be spending so much money on Funko Pops on this freaking show.
And posters.
And do they make posters for Disney Plus shows?
Pretty sure they do. They should. I mean, they release like everything at like Hot Topics and whatnot.
We are, of course, talking about the Oscar Isaac-led Disney Plus show, Moon Knight.
Yes.
Coming out March 30th. It is the newest Marvel Cinematic Universe show. This is the...
Fourth.
No.
Fifth.
Because there was WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier, Loki, Hawkeye. So fifth.
Yeah, it's the
fifth live action.
Like a year and a half? Less than a year and a half. Really, 15 months.
Yeah, it would be 14 months. Yeah, 14, 15 months. Whatever.
Let's not get quite a pace.
They're chugging this shit out. But this one is by far... the most obscure character that they have done on Disney Plus. It is the one that, you know, when they started announcing the Disney Plus shows, I was the most excited for very specific reasons. Mm-hmm. But they finally dropped that trailer yesterday, and it promises to be an absolutely wild, supernatural, kind of all over the place. Right, I think they're going to do 6 episodes. Ryan, what are your initial thoughts of Moon Knight, just from the trailer that you've seen and the multiple videos that we just watched, other than him calling Dracula a fucking nerd?
Right. I mean, my biggest takeaway is, like, I'm so fucking excited that Oscar Isaac and Ethan Hawke are, like, the two stars of this movie.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious that they Oscar Isaac has like a British accent in this.
Yes.
And the other thing is like, so this, I feel like we say this a lot, but this looks completely different from any of the other Marvel shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like I heard someone say the other day that it doesn't even look like a Marvel show really.
No.
It doesn't, which I mean, makes sense since Moon Knight is like way darker than... at least any other Marvel show they've done, but way darker than like most Marvel characters, right? Because like this dude literally basically sold his soul to the moon god, the Egyptian moon god,
yes,
to be resurrected.
Khonshu.
Khonshu, you fucking nerd.
Khonshu, you fucking nerd. Kanta god simp. No, so it's like, it's interesting because this is the first... this is definitely the first Disney Plus show where it's not based off of a pre-existing character within the MCU.
That's true.
And it will be the first since Shang-Chi to have a character just be straight up introduced into its own movie/show.
Yeah.
And so, and even before that, that's not true. Eternals. Have...
Yeah.
Well, not technically.
Not really.
You had Thanos and all that.
You had, like, the Eternals referenced in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah, okay. So...
like, Moon Knight has never been referenced, appeared, like,
anything. Never brought up. Some people tried to, like, put TikToks up last night where it was, like, they referenced Cairo, Egypt, and, like, that's a direct... like, this was, like, 4 or 5 fucking years ago, and, Civil War is, like, this is a direct, like, thing to Moon Knight. It's, like, shut the fuck up. No, it's not. Like,
I mean, I'm sure there's been Easter eggs and whatnot.
Back in, like, 2015 and 2016, like, they were still, like, do we want this, like, psychopathic Batman to be in our, like, MCU? And
I'm so glad they eventually said yes. I'm sure Kevin Feige was, like, of course we want.
Of course we're gonna do that, yeah. But like, and here's the thing. He's not fucking Batman. Like, I stop. Like, people need to stop with the Batman.
Clearly.
Like,
I mean,
comparisons.
There are, like, good comparisons.
There were comparisons.
Batman, for yeah. sure.
Yeah. And those were comparisons before they kind of changed the character's biography, mm-hmm. where it went from, like, he's just a mercenary who, like, sometimes is a millionaire who, like, has that identity to do stuff in the millionaire world, but also has a taxi cab persona to, like, get the word on the streets. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, that was, like, one person. But then they, like, slowly, gradually moved it to where, like, hey, this guy's fucking crazy, and he has, like, multiple personas because he has, like, dissociative identity disorder, mm-hmm. and he cannot, like, tell which is which. And it's mostly because, like, this god Khonshu is fucking his brain up.
Khonshu, you fucking nerd. Where's my, what are you doing?
Don't let him get me! I didn't mean to look at those new hieroglyphics! Forget if gods can bleed! Can a god simp?
What the fuck are you talking
about? I was Horny Mark Spector, and now Captain Atom is going to quantum bug me!
Who is going to what now?
And, like, he's just going crazy.
Right.
And so it's like, when they went to that, it was like, oh my god, this is badass. Like, this is crazy shit. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, like, what question... Okay, let's do this, because I think... This is the fun part about this. What? You, through what we have talked over the last day or so, know a little bit more about Moon Knight. But some people within, like, our audience or just out there don't really know too much about Moon Knight.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, like, I'm an expert on it, but, like, I've read the 2016 run, and I've really kind of... I started following Moon Knight more in 2016. So,
okay.
What would be your, like, two or three top questions that you don't know? Mm-hmm. And maybe you've had them answered in the last 24 hours. Even, like, you can say them now. But, like, what would be your biggest questions about Moon Knight going into this show?
Okay, like, A, what are his origin... What's his origin story? Like,
okay.
That, I mean, I guess that's pretty much it. Like, what's his origin story, and, like, who are his biggest, like, you know, rivals or mm-hmm. whatever? And, like, then finally, how does it fit into, like, the larger Marvel universe?
Okay, so that's a really good one. And there's one guy that I'm going to have to look up. Bushman. He, in the comics, and this is, like, across, like, all of them, mm-hmm. he was a mercenary who was hired to go find these Egyptian, you know, remains, these artifacts.
Semper Fi, bitch!
And he was hired alongside this really old guy and his daughter, alongside another mercenary whose name was Bushman. When they go get, they get to those artifacts and they get to that stuff... It's all Khonshu shit, basically.
Okay.
Bushman turns on everybody and fucking kills Mark Spector.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Spector is the mercenary. And what happens is he's basically left for dead in the middle of the, like, Egyptian desert.
Yeah.
And followers of Khonshu come and find his body, take him to the temple or the altar of Khonshu, mm-hmm. and Khonshu resurrects him.
Right.
And basically says, like, makes him a deal, like, hey, if you're my, like, fist of vengeance, my hand of vengeance, like, I will bring you back to life and you'll be good to go. And so he's brought back to life as, like, literally the fist of fucking Khonshu, like, his fist of vengeance.
Mm.
And so he goes and, like, hunts Bushman down and fucking murders him. And, like, yeah, is the fist of Khonshu. Now, Bushman is his biggest rival.
Is this what, like, it happened in the 2016 run?
Yeah.
Was that, like, an origin story?
Yeah. So, like, that explains some of it within his origin there. He also, one of his other big villains is the Sun King, which some people think what Ethan Hawke is going to play.
Right.
The Sun King is, like, the Fist of Vengeance for Ra. So, like, the complete opposite of what Moon Knight is, Sun, Moon, that kind of thing. Another one, there's Hunter's Moon, which is another Fist of Khonshu, which they just introduced a couple months ago. That's very recent. Mm-hmm. They probably won't do that for a little while. They want to get that more established within the comics. But that's really it. Like, he's had a lot of runs with Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to watch for because he operates a lot out of New York. He's had some run-ins with, like, the Punisher. You saw that in that video today.
Yeah.
But Spider-Man, Punisher, And Daredevil. He's had a lot with Daredevil. But the one that everybody's kind of looking at now is Midnight Suns, which is Daredevil, not Daredevil, sorry. Blade, Black Knight, him, and Doctor Strange, and some other supernatural people.
Wait, is Dracula in the MCU somehow?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there is a Dracula in the MCU.
Do you think they'll ever do that? Well, yes. Blade's kind of like...
Well, okay, and that's his other big like villain is Dracula. So there's a chance that Dracula's in this series.
Okay, because Blade would be kind of like tied into Dracula exactly. In some way.
And what people, and we saw it in that video, is some people think that...
Because Blade's a vampire, if you don't
yes. know. Blade is in London visiting Dane Whitman, who becomes Black Knight. Mm-hmm. He's in that post-credits scene in Eternals. Some people think, because this show is obviously set in London as well, that there's going to be some sort of crossover with Blade in this show. So there's a very real possibility that Blade's first on-screen appearance is in the Moon Knight show.
And they brought back the same guy who played Blade back in the day, right? Oh, it's some new guy?
It's Mahershala Ali.
Oh, he didn't... Yeah, he was probably kind of young, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I'd be super shocked if Blade shows up in this series.
I would put that at less than a 40% chance of happening. Yeah, it's like likely, but less like than 20. It's not super likely for that to happen. Mm-hmm. Let's get into the suit that he wears. This is my fucking favorite suit that they have in the MCU.
Is it?
Other than like maybe the Captain America suit that he had in like Winter Soldier.
Uh-huh.
This is the most like accurate that I've seen them do. And I fucking love the shit out of it.
Yeah, this is like definitely still behind the Iron Spider suit, but sure.
oh my God, it's so cool. Like I just think like this is gonna be such a freaky, like supernatural show. And I love the fact that they included Kid Cudi's like day and night. The dissociative part
that's
of it.
That's what, like, one thing I'm a little worried about, because, like, the trailer looked fucking awesome, and the tone was really, really cool, but I have a feeling that the, like, actual tone of the show is going to be way different from this trailer, so I hope translates over, and it's going to be really interesting to see how they, like, progress the story, because it kind of looked like they're just going to pick up where he... like doesn't really know what's going on and shit starts happening to him. Because like if he doesn't go to Egypt and like the whole thing with Khonshu doesn't go down in this show, like I'll be pretty disappointed.
No, I think they're gonna have like the flashbacks to when he was a mercenary and like when he was killed. And I think And I think those
They should just do like full blown like open with that.
Maybe they will. I don't know. But I think some of those scenes will be shown in like an official trailer.
They did show like him in Egypt in front of like the three pyramids. Yeah. So like we definitely are going to see him get to go to Egypt. It's just 100%. Like how they structure the show will be super interesting, especially given that he's a brand new character.
Yeah. And what I think they're going to do is like it's going to be him working as like a gift shop guy. And then he's going to have these visions and these, like, memories start popping up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we're going to, like, see the background and see him get, like, be a mercenary and be killed. And,
this would be really weird because, like, how does he get back to London and, like, just turn into some random, like, you know, some normal dude?
Because he's fucking crazy.
Okay. Well, I just hope they, like, really go, like, balls to the wall with him being crazy.
Oh, I think they will.
Like, oh, this just happened. Like, I really want to see, like, him...
Yeah, go down that rabbit hole, almost.
Just deteriorate, like, mad.
No, I think they will. Because I think you're also going to see, like, the deterioration into, like, having to accept that he's Moon Knight.
Right.
Which, like, that's going to be insane to watch as well.
Yeah, because for most of the trailer, he looks terrified at, like, whatever's happening to him. Yeah,
so he's fucking nuts. Ryan, yeah, I'm really excited for Moon Knight.
This is the most excited I've been for any of the Marvel.
Are you actually going to read that Lemire?
Fuck yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll have to pull them all out for you.
That's what she said.
Hey!
Woo! Are you an angel? Yeah, sure, whatever. You got any ketamine? I know you're here, Dracula, you big fucking nerd. Where's my goddamn money?
Now it is time to talk about a movie that is getting a lot of Oscar buzz, directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, starring Alana Haim and Cooper Hoffman.
Oh, you looked up the name, eh?
I did, yeah. It is Licorice Pizza.
Blah.
Ryan, what is Licorice Pizza
about? the wonderful love story between a 15-year-old and a 25-year-old. Or maybe a 28-year-old. We don't know.
I thought she said 25.
There was a point in one of the scenes where she says she's 28. Then she corrects herself back to 25.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Anyways.
You know the scene where like they're driving with Bradley Cooper's character in the truck? And he's like, how old are you? And she's like, 28. And they're like, 25.
Oh my god, I did not catch up on that.
But anyways, yes, no. Highly inappropriate relationship between a
mid-20-year-old and a teenager.
Yes.
Not just child. A teenager, just a mid-teenager.
He's a child actor.
Yes, he is a child actor.
And perpetual entrepreneur.
Yes. And not really great child actor at that. Kind of a wise ass who likes to fuck around.
Kind of a middling.
Yeah.
Yeah. His friend's more of a... Did you notice that the friend or the other child actor was a guy from National Lampoon's and the Drew Barrymore show?
Yeah, Santa Clarita's Diet.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I love that guy.
All right, so what was your main problem with this movie overall, Ryan?
It's a shit movie.
Okay, well, but you have to have a little more detail than that, Ryan. As I say to my...
Okay, my main problem, actually, that, yeah, that I talked about after the movie was it felt like a bunch of different movies all crammed together.
Yeah.
Like they kept every 20 to 30 minutes or so, it would take a really, not a sharp turn, but just it would veer off into a different direction. So if you had a timeline of this movie as you're going along, it just is all kind of over the place.
Yeah.
And the Tragedy of Macbeth, it had different acts where it had screen cards every act.
I don't think it did.
What movie did we see recently that had...
I know what you're talking about, and I'm
had
trying.
That. Pig did. Pig.
Yeah.
Pig
had... It had the different recipes that they were gonna make.
Right, and it was split up into four or five different parts, and they titled each part of the movie. There was just no structure to this movie, and also stuff just kind of happened without a whole lot of meaning behind it.
The cop scene.
The cop scene, the scene where they go out to the golf course and the guy jumps over a fucking bunker that's on fire.
Yeah.
On a motorcycle.
Sean Penn.
Yeah. I mean, those scenes did kind of have meaning. You know, there's to show that the 15-year-old character had this strong attachment to the 25-year-old character, even though they're treating each other super shittily. You know, the scenes had a modicum of meaning to them. But the shit that was happening in the scenes were just so fucking random that it made it hard to enjoy. And plus, the movie's 2.5 fucking hours
it's pretty
long.
Fucking long.
It's way too long.
Well, and I think why most people
Jesus. I have a hard time explaining why this movie is bad. I would love to hear someone who enjoyed this movie explain why it's good, because I can't possibly imagine any rationalization behind why this is a good movie.
Well, I think some people were Lana Haim is amazing in this movie, and I was I didn't think she was great. I thought she was middling at best, and it was a weird representation of this character. I think what it gets most people is it's the same thing with what movie was it? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and A Star Is Born sometime. This Hollywood nostalgia comes in where it's a look at back at old Hollywood and how it used to
even
be.
I think that's where
some of it comes in.
Even that's kind of bullshit because
it's stupid.
Except for a few, a lot of the movie you could have been this might have been shot in the 80s or the 90s or whatever. I know it very clearly was shot in the 70s, or filmed to look like it was in the 70s.
I just think it's the biggest problem is 100%. It is a 15-year-old who gets picked up by a 25-year-old
at
his school.
It's not great.
And it's very early in the movie, and it's very hard to move past that. And it's a very odd choice to make for this story, especially when you then have her, like, chaperoning him to New York mm-hmm. for a play where they're, like, in jammies the entire time.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a, like, in-your-face thing that, like, oh, he's a fucking kid. Like, okay, cool.
Yes.
But he's a kid who, like, has no parental supervision.
Right, he's a kid who has no parental supervision, and he, like, gets treated pretty much as an adult by, like, everyone in his life, right?
Yeah.
He's, like, a regular at the local, like, steakhouse where he sits at the bar. Like, all the, you know, I don't know, commercials, directors, yeah. and people, like, kind of know him. So, there's a scene where he takes... What was the girl's name in the movie? He takes her to audition for her part, and he, like, is coaching her on how to do an audition.
Oh, yeah. And then he's, like, telling her, like, do it. Her name is literally Lana.
Lana. Okay, yeah. That's right.
And they gave him a porn name. It's Gary Valentine.
Yeah, Gary Valentine. Yeah. I mean, they're like, they could have done a romance movie that, like, actually was significant emotionally
mm-hmm.
that would be interesting, but, like, this really wasn't it, right? I mean, no. There was no point. There was, like, a fucking nanosecond where, like, I had an emotional reaction to what was happening in their relationship, and it was when, like, you know, at the very end of the movie, spoilers, where they're, like, looking for each other at the one night, and they find each other, and they're running towards each other, and then, like, cut to, like, show earlier in the movie where, like, each of them had chased the other after something had happened. Like, that was fairly powerful and, fairly emotionally driving. But, like, the rest of the movie, like, I don't really care that, you know, I didn't really care about the relationship or the, like, character development that Lana went through. Because,
yeah.
like, Lana went through, like, it was mostly a movie about her, mm-hmm. where she's going through this character development of learning that, you know, she has a deal with Gary, right? And then she's, like, several other men that she, like, tries to get attached to just for her, like, own pursuit of status. And, you know...
Yeah, like, she's all over the place. Like, you meet her working as, like, an assistant for a photographer who right. slaps her on the ass.
Right, like, and then she, like, tries to get into acting and gets, like, attached to this director who's, like, way older than her.
Sean Penn.
And then, you know... Then she gets into politics and, like, tries to get attached to the city council member who's running for mayor, who turns out to be gay. And, like...
Played by Benny Safdie from yes. the Safdie Brothers.
And they're, like, she's going through this journey of realizing, like, okay, I'm not going to be happy by, like, pursuing relationships or pursuing attachments to people just in the pursuit of, like, my own, like... making myself feel better or like pursuing my own personal gain. And it's really unfortunate that, like, she arrives in the right place where she, like, arrives comfortable with pursuing, like, a relationship or a significant other, like, just in the fact of, like, their personality and their mm-hmm. connection. But, like, the right person for her in this movie just happens to be an underage 15-year-old who she's 10 years older than.
Which, like, what's, like, at this point, like, throughout the movie stage? He's probably 16, maybe, at the end of this, but, like,
sure, still 9 years.
Yeah, at what age is it, like, oh, it's fine, like, 17 or 18? Like, I don't know. It's just...
I would say, yeah, I mean, if like, the other person is 25, it literally has to be 18 years old.
18, yeah. So right? It's just, like...
And, I mean, there it's, like, fairly weird.
It's fucking right? odd. Yeah, yeah. It's very strange. But, like... I don't know. Like, your point is very correct about early on in this review of this, where it's just, like, there's no pacing and there's no, like, structure mm-hmm. to it. They just, like, stop and start and, like, jump time, and you're like, I have no idea, like, where I am, how many days, weeks, months we just jumped, because, like, all of a sudden she's in a new job uh-huh. or she goes from, like, basically being pissed at Gary and, like, working for him to, like, doing something completely else.
Right.
And it's just like, okay, well, how much time has passed to where, like, she has a completely new fucking job?
Yeah.
Like, because that couldn't have been a couple days. Like, that had to be a week or so.
I mean, it really feels to me like Paul Thomas Anderson had all these wacky ideas for, like,
yeah.
really zany scenes. And then he just, like,
shoved them all
together with this really like inappropriate and uncomfortable underage relationship. And it blows my fucking mind that the same person who made There Will Be Blood with
Daniel Day-Lewis
also made Licorice Pizza. Because, like, Will Be Blood is, like, one of the most emotional movie experiences you can possibly have. And then, like, for him to also do Licorice Pizza, where it's, like, the least emotional
movie-going
experience you could possibly have.
Yeah.
It is really crazy. And, you know, let's call a spade. Like, if you're making a movie with Daniel Day-Lewis, it's way different from, you know, making a movie with a all-girls rock band member and, like, a kind of a first-time actor
who
was one of, you know, like, an amazing actor's son. Like,
what'd you think of Cooper Hoffman? Because I thought he did a pretty good job. I think he did a decent job.
He did a decent job, like, you know, for the role he was given. But, like, let's be real. He was really just playing himself, right? He's, like, he's a 16-year-old kid playing a 16-year-old kid. He's a 16-year-old... The character is a 16-year-old kid who is an actor who, like, is doing all these things. That's, like, literally what Cooper fucking Hoffman is.
Who, like, life. Grew up in L.A. and grew up
in that lifestyle.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see, like, in a way, he's almost playing, like, a version of his dad as a child or as a teenager, right? Yeah, his dad would come up in, like, that time frame. But, yeah, I mean, like, it's funny because... Like, yeah, I was talking to the person I saw this with and after the movie, and which we had the, I have a bone to fucking pick with you about that, because, like, you made it seem like you hadn't seen this movie, and I was, like, stabbing you in the back by seeing it without you. And then you never fucking told me you had already seen it.
Well, no, I know I didn't tell you about it. I didn't think I, like, made it to be a dick movie that you wouldn't.
Oh, you definitely did.
Okay,
yeah.
Well.
But, like, okay, so, like, one thing that I really noticed was, I think it's, they had to have shot this movie, like, in sequence, because, like, literally the first, I don't know, 10-minute sequence or whatever, where Lana and Gary, like meet each other and are, like, walking through the school and, like, having that conversation.
Yeah.
I would, like, for the first 5 minutes, like, this movie is going to be such dog shit because their acting is so, so horrendous so bad in this scene. Yeah. I was like, if the whole movie is like this, like... I don't know if I can make 2.5 hours.
Yeah. It's a fucking long movie. Yeah. And what you said about, like, it being void of emotion, like, it's just, there's no emotion compared to, like...
There's no, like, void of emotional impact.
Right? Yeah. And it's insane that, like, it is a two and a half hour?
Yeah.
2.5 hour movie, and then, like, a movie like Pig that's 1.5 hours, like, it's just jammed packed with, like, emotional scenes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it, yeah.
In an hour, in, like, less than 1.5 hours.
That's right? What I'm saying. Like...
Yeah, and, like... There were so many other things in this movie. It's like, why the fuck? Why did you even do this? Like, the Bradley Cooper character. Like, they just bring him in to
that
be the...
That is another scene where I don't understand why it's getting so much fucking love. Like, he's just playing a psychopath.
Which,
like,
one? Where...
Bradley Cooper. The entire time. Yeah. Everybody's like, he should get nominated for Best Supporting Actor for that scene.
Get the fuck out of here.
And it's like, shut the fuck up. Like, don't.
Okay, and then, you know... The whole time Bradley Cooper's on the screen, I'm like, okay, I'm waiting to see why he, like, destroys cars with...
Oh, yeah.
And it's not even in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, no, in the trailer, there's a scene where he has, like, 2 hammers, and he, like, smashes these, like, rearview mirrors and, like, yells. I'm like, that's not... Like, it doesn't even happen.
I can answer why that happened, or why that happened in the movie, or in a deleted scene.
Why?
Because he's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
That's it. I mean, like, that's literally the only explanation. He's fucking crazy, and he's a womanizer. Like, those are the only two, like, character traits this guy gets.
Right.
And, like, that's it. So it's like, the fuck am I watching?
Yeah, but there were, like, a bunch of different scenes that are like that. I was like, this is, like, so you're not driving the story forward at all. You're not, like, you know, there's that. There's a scene with the Sean Penn character and the other Hollywood guy who... They do this whole, like, they reenact one of his movies.
Yeah.
Like, literally...
There's the Asian jokes.
The Asian jokes were fucking hilarious, let's be real.
A lot of people were pissed off about that.
It was really funny.
And I get it. I get why. But it was, like, so fucking random.
That gave me a glimmer of hope. Like, okay, maybe this movie would be, like, fairly funny.
But do you think that was supposed to... Because people, whenever people got really mad about it, they were like, but it's supposed to be, like... not culturally accurate. It's supposed to be time period accurate. Like,
no,
that's how some people in the 70s like were. It's like, no, I think that's just supposed to be funny. Like,
that's just supposed to be like a gag.
Yeah.
It's literally supposed to be a gag.
And then some people are like, well, you should, Asian, you know, like, stereotypical voices shouldn't be a gag. It's like, ah, shut up, dude. Like,
whatever. It's comedy. Like, get over yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, there was, like I said, the scene where they're, like, running towards each other.
Mm-hmm.
That scene was amazing. And the scene where, like, the 10 minutes or so between, like, the mayoral candidate and his boyfriend.
That was a
and
good
like,
scene.
Like, what happened was... there, and then what happened between the boyfriend and Lana.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was like, one of the most beautiful... I mean, it wasn't beautiful, but it's, like, one of, I think, the most grounded...
Heart-shattering, like, moments.
Yeah, like, heart-shattering and grounded depictions of what, like, you know, the life was like for, you know, for most of human history. Like what life was like for... the homosexual community.
Yeah, gay and lesbian,
you know, their
relationships.
If you had, like, or had any public position or position of power, you, like, truly had to maneuver around not being public with your romantic relationships because they like, destroy you.
Because you're literally getting tailed by somebody who was, like, from the opposition.
Yeah.
And they had expected, I guess, somebody else to come to dinner with them.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, that person canceled, so it was, like, only them.
Yeah.
And so they had to, like, call Alana and be like, hey, like, we need you. Like, you want to come to dinner? And she just shows up, and then it's like, okay, like, here's the story. Like, you're my blah, blah, blah. Or, like, you're hers, blah, blah, blah. Like, you're going to go home with him.
And, right. You're going to take your boyfriend home.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, fuck, dude.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was, like, super powerful. Like, if they had thoughtfully done the entire movie like that, I'm not saying, like, just for that topic, but, you know...
Throughout, yeah, I get
like, in that way, I think the movie would have been way different. But,
yeah.
Like, the way they cut together these, like, super, you know, like I said, wacky scenes or supposed to be, like, little gag scenes, they, like, try to blend that with these, like, mostly emotional scenes that just didn't land at all.
Yeah, no.
How
pissed on a scale of 1 to 5 will you be when it gets nominated for Best Picture?
I mean, not too pissed. I mean, it definitely doesn't deserve to, but like, if you're gonna nominate 9, if it gets nominated over like French Dispatch, I'd be like super pissed.
Over it's, I don't think,
like, French Dispatch is,
yeah,
like, exponentially a better movie than this.
Yeah.
And I know for sure, like, French Dispatch won't get nominated.
Probably not.
Like, probably won't get... It won't. And, like, Pig probably won't get nominated.
Pig will not get nominated.
Definitely
sure.
Should be.
I'm getting really pissed off and worried that he's not going to get nominated for Best Actor. And that's going to really piss me off.
He definitely should. Yeah.
Because I think Javier... I think somebody else that, like, is 100% not deserving of just a nomination is going to get nominated.
And either of the, you know, the father-son duo in that movie, like, either of them could be... nominated for Best Supporting Actor in my eyes.
Oh, Wolf. Yeah, and I don't remember who plays the dad, but yeah, I know.
Yeah, it was Amir or something.
Yeah. So it's like, but I think they're gonna give, and it goes back to the old Hollywood thing. I think they're gonna give Javier Bardem a fucking Best Actor nom for playing Ricky Ricardo.
Yeah.
From I Love what is the movie? Being the Ricardos.
Being the Ricardos. Yeah. I mean, so you just like. You make a movie out of Hollywood and Hollywood's going to jerk you off the nomination, basically.
That's what,
like,
they do most of the time, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, I guess. But, like, I mean, the other award shows kind of do that, right? Like, the British, what is it, the BAFTAs always, like, tend to kind of award, like, British.
Well, yeah, it's British only.
Like, no, it's not.
Is it not?
I don't think so.
I could be totally wrong.
But, yeah, it's definitely not in the Best Picture. Honestly, I don't think any of the cast should be nominated.
I don't think so either.
I mean, maybe, like, I don't know. The director really shouldn't. The sound...
Some of the cinematography was
really... cinematography and the soundtrack were, like, pretty good, so I could see there'd be nominations around that, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was your Jindo Max Head rating?
Max Head Jindo rating. He's over there, dead asleep on the floor.
Yes.
Might open his eyes. To clarify
for new time listeners, we name our rating scale after our Jindo Korean Jindo dog,
yes,
named Maximus.
Such a great boy. He's biting himself now. He was shaking for a second.
He's doing a little itch.
Ryan, I would give this a 2.75 on the Max Gendo head rating.
Yes. I had already decided my rating before I asked you the other day.
Then you asked me, and I was like, oh, I think it'd be this.
And
then
I agreed exactly. Yeah. This is definitely a 2.75.
It's crazy.
It's borderline dumpster fire review.
Yeah, but it's
just
like,
above that line.
But like that scene where the whole scene with her mayoral candidate boss.
Yeah.
Like, that really does, like, not save the movie per se, but, like, it does change it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, that's a really great scene. And I think Cooper Hoffman has something going on. I'm excited to see what he does in the future.
We'll see. We'll see if he gets roles that allow him to branch out.
Flex his muscles a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 2.75. If you want to go check it out, it's definitely probably going to get nominated for Best Pictures. Best Picture, as well as some other categories. So we would highly recommend you see it just for that reason alone, if you want to be up to date with what might get nominated. But Ryan, this has been a fun episode. A lot of nerd talk.
Happy to be back.
Yeah, we're back. We're going to be back every week now. Next week is an especially exciting week. We have an interview with Clint Bentley and Greg Quidar of Jockey, because it is finally premiering here in Dallas.
The Sundance winner from 2021.
Yes, as well as it will be coming out wide release nationally in early February. So we will be premiering that finally next week. We are super stoked to have those guys on. So we'll have another episode next week. We may have one later this week. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see if Ryan has time or if I have time.
You have time.
Yeah. But everybody,
busy lives we these
do.
Days.
Yeah. But everybody, thank you guys for checking out this episode. Go check us out on Instagram at Furloughed Film Talks and on Twitter at Furloughed Film. And everybody, enjoy yourselves, watch some movies, and we will talk with you next time.
Adios, amigos.